Views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. Coming up today on Conscious Talk, local author Mary O'Malley talks about her book, The Gift of Our Compulsions. And then in the second half hour of the show, the radio host, John St. Augustine, shares his power thoughts, and the voice of independent radio is here with his inspiring personal story. Conscious Talk is brought to you by Absolute Lending Solutions. Why are you wasting money on that 30-year fixed-rate mortgage? Call the team at Absolute Lending Solutions, 206-838-7600, to find out how to make your mortgage payment pay for your retirement, or visit us on the web at www.absolutelendingsolutions.com.
Are you ready to realize your wellness potential? Then now is the time to discover the Vital Energy Machine from Rejuvenetics. People have been using the Vital Energy Machine for years to promote energetic harmony, decrease physical and emotional fatigue, and restore well-being. The Vital Energy Machine combines the latest advances in energy therapy into an easy-to-operate device that can be used in your own home. Call 1-800-459-9052 for your free DVD and find out how the Vital Energy Machine can work for you. Call 1-800-459-9052. That's 1-800-459-9052.
There's so many reasons to get on over to Super Supplements. They're knowledgeable staff. The fact that they discount 10 to 70% off suggested retail price on their entire inventory every day. Their huge selection on over 30,000 quality products with brand names like Atkins, Garden of Life, Solaric, Twin Lab, Solgar, Burt's Bees, Airborne, and Gero formulas, just to name a few. Not to mention Super Supplements' 10 convenient locations, Bellingham, Burlington, Linwood, Kenmore, North Seattle, U-District, Bellevue, Renton, Tacoma, Lakewood, and Olympia, with more locations coming soon. Super Supplements was recently voted Vitamin Magazine's best independent chain in the entire country. Open 9 to 9 Monday through Saturday, Sundays 11 to 7. Let Super Supplements help you live healthier and feel better today. If you're feeling less than superhuman, get to Super Supplements for super service, super selection, and super savings. For the Super Supplements nearest you, go to supersup.com. That's SUPERSUP.com.
If you have questions or comments on today's show, or wish to talk to one of our guests, give us a call at 425-373-5527, or in the outlying areas, use the toll-free hotline 1-888-298-KKNW. That's 1-888-298-5569.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday. It is still raining here in Seattle.
Oh, liquid sunshine everywhere.
Wherever you are, we hope that you are doing incredibly well this morning. And welcome to Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. I'm Brenda Michaels.
And I'm Rob Spears. And yes, on this, rather gray day, but
rather gray,
but very clean out there.
How about a dark day?
Yeah,
we're going to be honest. It's a dark day, but it's good.
It's dark, but clean.
It's good.
And, it's a good day because today we have with us Mary O'Malley, who is a local author.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a wonderful book out here. Really a seminal work in the way of, consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we can really relate to. It's called The Gift of Our Compulsions. And, we want to bring her on just right off.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really love the subtitle of your book, A Revolutionary Approach to Self-Acceptance and Healing.
Yeah.
Because this is really what we're talking about in your book today. So tell us, Mary, what is a compulsion so that our audience knows exactly what we're talking about?
Well, in this work, a compulsion is any activity that you use to manage your experience and around which you have little or no control. And it's amazing. We can be compulsive about anything. And most of us are not even aware of how compulsive we are.
Right. And so what was your particular compulsion that, made you the expert in this area?
Everything.
Yeah, and isn't that true that it's all, that,
yes.
Usually you don't just have one.
But the one that stayed with me the longest was overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And I once gained 97 pounds in a year.
Mm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it was quite a journey.
Wow. So you were eating, obviously, to cover emotional issues, to mm-hmm. not have to face life. I mean, what were you really dealing with at that time that created this strong a compulsion?
Well, compulsions are the act of turning away from yourself. And this work is the act of turning towards yourself. What I wanted to put on the very bottom of every single page, which my publisher would not let me do, was you're never longing for your compulsions. What you're longing for is yourself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to not only get back to myself, but I also did not know how to care for all the parts of myself that I was running away from. So this has been a over 30-year journey of really understanding how to come back into a full, deep, trust-filled relationship with yourself and with your life.
You know, the interesting part about this and the reason for the subtitle, A Revolutionary Approach to Self-Acceptance and Healing, what is revolutionary about this is that, you know, first of all, you consider compulsions a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So explain how compulsions lead us back to ourselves.
Well, the wonderful thing about compulsions, and we're really beginning to understand this now, is that if you try to control them, they persist, because what you resist persists.
Right.
So it's an old style of mind that we have been caught into for many years. If you don't like something, you try to get rid of it. But yet the U.S. Surgeon General's report is 95 to 98% of every pound that is lost in America is gained back, mm-hmm. plus some within a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing I heard a couple of months ago is that the King County Bar Association came out with a report that said not only does the war on drugs not work, but it creates more problems.
Right.
So the wonderful thing about compulsions is that they will not let us go. We may be able to manage one and then another one comes up. You know,
right.
We stop smoking and we eat more. We go on a diet and we shop more, things along that line. But they won't let us go until they teach us how to really, truly be present mm-hmm. for ourselves.
So would you consider nail biting?
Absolutely.
So we call those habits, though.
Yes.
You know, when I was a kid, I bit my nails. And mom
yes.
told me, you know, she kept saying that's a very bad habit. But in truth, it was a compulsion.
Absolutely. Because it was that not only did I gain 97 pounds in a year, but I was suicidal for many years. And I finally learned that there was nothing inside of me that I needed to be ashamed of. And there was nothing that I could not meet. This isn't about feeling the feelings that fuel your compulsions. This is about meeting them and literally transforming them through the light of your attention.
Yeah, and that is like the huge, well, one of the huge points, but it was a central point of the book. And that's why so many people are familiar with Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about presence.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of using your compulsions, and it is so central, using your compulsions to really focus you on your life as opposed to
yes.
running away from your
yes.
life.
Yes, yes. In this book, we talk about the difference between management and engagement.
Right.
This doesn't mean that you let go of management. Management is very important. It's like the body has bones, but the body also has muscles. And this is the art of learning how to engage. We are hungry for ourselves. We are hungry for a deep and abiding experience of ourselves and of our lives. And one of the things that I say in the book that I think is very important is that our core compulsion is to struggle.
There you go.
Right.
We have become human doings rather than human beings. And all the other compulsions are an attempt to numb out from that. Can we learn how to be present for the experience of compulsions? I call it treasure hunting.
Oh,
right.
I love
oh,
that. I love
that's
that.
Right.
I love that. So how have we been? How have all of us really been in relationship to all of our compulsions? If we can't even identify them. If we don't think of them as that.
Yes, but it is most of what we have done is either completely deny
mm-hmm.
our compulsive behaviors. It isn't until the internet goes down, because the computer is one of our core compulsions now, or electricity goes off and you can't watch television, or you get sick and you can't work 16 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is when we begin to realize that there are things that are controlling us. And so our job is to begin to become fascinated with that process. And we think usually that it is a defect when we see it.
Right.
I see it as a management system. I see it as the psyche has figured out a way how to take care of yourself when you're far away from yourself.
Mm.
We really relate to that, and we have told people our story
many times,
but we considered our diseases to be the greatest messengers in our life.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about. And it is that I love the example that you gave when the power went out, because that's exactly our power went out many times last year. And we had to deal with that. And the inconvenience becomes kind of that respite where you actually get to be who you are.
Yes.
And there's that silence that we very rarely have. But so your compulsion's like a major disease.
Yes, and that's a good way to put
point
it.
Point to, our messengers to tell you something.
Yes. And there's very specific tools in the book of how to turn towards yourself. People say, oh, that's scary, because you begin to realize that you've been hydroplaning through your life. Most of us hydroplane through our lives. Stephen Levine, one of my core teachers, said that he was at the deathbed of a 93-year-old woman once, and she said, it can't end now because it hasn't started yet.
Oh, yes.
And if we listen to compulsions, they'll bring us back to life.
Right.
Yes, instead of resisting them. So give us an example then, Mary, of how we could shift a compulsion, let's say. Just give us an example of how we could shift a compulsion to respond to it and engage it, as opposed to resist it and push it away.
I think one of the best examples comes out of my life. So I was deeply, deeply compulsive, straight across the board. And then slowly and surely, some amazing people came into my life and taught me how to be curious rather than controlling. And that's, the shift that we make in this book over and over again. And I talk to people all over the country now, and people say, my God, that makes so much sense. And so slowly and surely, I unraveled the ball of struggle that I had taken on that was fueling my compulsions. And so I had been out of it. Every once in a while, I keep a chocolate bar in my house all times. And that is to honor my compulsions and to begin to, it's kind of like my biofeedback system. Mm-hmm. It's when I am interested in the chocolate bar, then I know that I've stepped away from myself. But there was a morning that I got up that was different, that the old style came back in spades, and that was the morning of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up and I turned on the television, and I was just in shock. And then the phone started ringing, and it rang all morning. And then I had a group come, and of course it was a very intense group. And as soon as I shut that door, I had this wild urge to go and inhale QFC all in one fell swoop.
Right.
And it was so strong inside of me that I made it all the way into my bedroom, got my purse, made it all the way out to the door before curiosity kicked in and said, oh, what's going on? And I immediately took a breath and turned within, and my compulsion said, don't give me any of that curiosity stuff. I am going to the store. And so I said to my compulsions, being very smart and understanding that if I say, no, we're not going to the store, who's going to win?
Right.
And so I said, yes, I understand. But I remind you that we don't feel very good when we take care of ourselves in that way. And the compulsion kind of grumbled. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll negotiate. And this is all how to do this is in the book. And I said, let's go sit on the porch for 5 minutes. And if you still want to go to the store after 5 minutes, great. Okay. So I went and sat on the porch, and I took some breaths, which we talk about breath work in there. And all of a sudden, my awareness filled my body. I was turning towards myself rather than turning away.
Right.
And I could feel this ball of fire in my solar plexus, this very uncomfortable feeling that I wanted to get away from. And as I breathed and was present for it, the feeling that was creating that contraction in my body just came and flooded me with its presence. And it was a grief. It was the grief of the world. It was that big. And instead of leaving it, I stayed there with it, and it passed through me like an ocean wave meeting the shore of my heart, and I no longer had any need. to go to the store.
Great.
That's a beautiful
story,
Mary. And when we take a break, we're going to come back and continue with Mary O'Malley talking about her book, The Gift of Compulsion. I'm Brenda Michaels.
I'm Rob Spears. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in our health and well-being but don't know where to get reliable information, then the Well-Being Journal is exactly what you need. The Well-Being Journal heralds the integration of medicine with the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of healing. The Well-Being Journal is your best source for the latest information on alternative therapies and the truth about what's really going on in the world of medicine. If you want to get to the root cause of society's health challenges and disease in your body, you'll want to read articles written by leading-edge MDs, naturopaths, herbologists, nutritionists, and researchers found together in the Well-Being Journal. To subscribe to the Well-Being Journal, call 888-532-3117. That's 888-532-3117. Or visit on the web at www.wellbeingjournal.com. The truth is out there, and it's in the Well-Being Journal.
It's time for another edition of Power Thoughts, the most powerful minute on radio.
Hey folks, this is John St. Augustine. You know, one of the shortcomings we have as humans is that we tend to view history beginning with our arrival on the planet. Of course, long before humans existed, the Earth was full of swimming, crawling, flying, and walking creatures of all kinds. Maybe it's that view of our history, as opposed to the view of history, that keeps us so far removed from this little blue biosphere that sustains our lives called planet Earth. Now take global warming, for example. Is it something that's real? Do humans really help destroy the ozone? Or is it the millions of cows and their gas problem that is the real culprit here? As with most issues, you will find both sides of the scientific aisle making the case for or against. And as with most issues, the truth most likely is smack dab in the middle.
Power Thoughts, the most powerful minute on radio.
You're listening to Conscious Talk on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us this morning, wherever you are. I'm Brenda Michaels.
I'm Rob Spears, and we're talking with Mary O'Malley, and we're talking about her book, The Gift of Compulsions, and it's a revolutionary approach to self-acceptance and healing. And Mary, we really, in the last segment, talked about actually connecting and communicating. That story mm-hmm. you told was really great, because you were really communicating with your compulsion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that caught my interest in that, and that really, you know, took me up, you know, sort of sharply when I was reading the book, was that your compulsions actually communicate back with you.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And that's sometimes a concept that's a little hard for people to yes. understand, but that was a great example.
This whole society thinks of them as defects
right.
and something that needs to be controlled. That's why the statistics are so important now, to really understand that how we've been dealing with them not only does not work, but it actually fuels them.
Right. Anything we fight against, we give
yes.
power to.
Absolutely.
And we don't understand that. So how do our compulsions serve us then?
Well, if we can begin to listen, there's a wonderful story I tell in the book called The House of Your Being. And it is this analogy of this wonderful house of just laughter and light and love and joy. And it's a very long, complicated, wonderful story. But it's how we pulled ourselves up and out of our bodies and ended up in the attic of our minds. Hmm. And we have boxed up and duct taped all these parts of ourselves and locked them in the rooms of the house of our being. You know, we feel them in that, you know, heaviness on our chest and that tightness in our solar plexus and that horrible, yucky feeling in our gut. But these feelings can get out of duct tape. They're very good, and they come up and they knock on the door of the attic of our minds. And what we do is we have this DVD player and this big screen TV, and we think about life. We become human doings. And then we get the knock on the door of these disowned feelings. And what we do is then we go and go to our compulsions. So whenever compulsions are there, there's always a part of you that needs you.
It's in so a way they're dragging you back to life.
Exactly. I mean, right. Yeah. And exactly. You know, you're really talking, Mary, about being very, very, very mindful.
Yes.
Because if you're not mindful, yes, you're going to go right into that spin because it's such a reactionary place to
exactly
live from.
Yes.
That's why we call it habitual.
Yes.
Or addictive.
Yes.
Because it's just an automatic thing for us. So I have to ask you, how do we become that mindful? Is it deep desire?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just willingness? Is it that we've reached a pit, a
yeah
bottomless pit that we
yeah
know we have to go up from there?
Yes.
What offers this ability for us to stay that mindful?
Well, the first thing is that compulsions take you to such a place of struggle that you begin to, there's this little thought that says, you know, I think that there's another way. And then the second step is to begin to really truly understand that you are not a defective person for having taken on compulsions, and compulsions are not a defect, that they are a survival system that has taken very good care of us. And if we begin to listen to it, then we can begin to use them as a guide. So people say, well, how do you do that? Well, the first thing is just having this shift, this conversation. For most people, is this dramatic shift of, oh my God, this isn't a defect inside of me. This is something that I can actually engage with. That's enough as a first step. If you are then interested in going into this kind of work, you know, the book, I do counseling,
right,
I have groups and retreats and things along that line. But the most important thing is to have a question somewhere, either right before you're compulsive, in the middle of a wave of compulsion, or even afterwards. And usually it's afterwards that people begin to learn to pay attention. And most of us waste that information in either judgment, oh dear, I did it again,
mm-hmm,
or despair, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to stop that.
Right.
But just to have that little bit of awareness that says, you know, maybe there was something there in that wave of compulsion. And maybe right now I can be present for myself and notice the price that I pay. People say, oh, I know the price I pay. But we don't allow ourselves to experience it. And that's why I was able, as I was heading out to the car, to say to the compulsion, you know, we really don't feel well. And the compulsion, oh, yeah, that's right. And then it was able to negotiate with me.
Right.
Well, somebody on this show, I wish I could remember who it was, but it reminded us, and it was so true, that oftentimes people will not shift, will not change until they have finally struggled enough.
Yes.
So I'm glad you brought up that as the core issue, because it really has been evidenced to be that so many
yes
times. But Mary, here's what I found to be most, well, for me, was most important in the book, because I could relate to it in my life. And that is that you take people through this process where they actually, you know, respect their compulsions.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned what they get from their compulsions,
and
et cetera, and how much they have been taught.
Yes.
But then it goes that the flip, which is oh so important, is that we finally respect ourselves for having taken on the
yes
compulsion in the first place.
Yes. Yeah.
Now that has to be a gift to someone. Let me just say, someone who's 150 pounds overweight.
Yes.
Which in our society, you know what people are struggling with out there with weight and every
yes
fad diet and diabetes gone through the roof. And, you know, we get all this negative feedback. Like you said,
mm-hmm,
our compulsions really are our gifts.
Yes.
But we get feedback from society that tells us there's something wrong with
right
us.
And that not only wrong for having taken it on, but wrong because you cannot control it. And yet the statistics are out there that control does not work. And that's why you can so deeply respect yourself. Because to me, the more compulsive you are, the deeper your longing is for a wonderful, trust-filled relationship with yourself and with your life. It's an indication of the depth of your soul.
Mm,
right.
That's a beautiful statement to make.
And
it's
then
powerful.
Very powerful.
Very
and
powerful.
So, but then you can go beyond respect and tell us the importance of forgiveness, because that comes in
mm-hmm
here.
Yes, and there's a whole section in the book about how you can not only forgive your compulsions, but you can allow your compulsions to forgive you, because what have you done with your compulsions? Think of it as a relationship. What have you done? You've hated them, you've feared them, you've judged them. You've loaded so much non-forgiveness onto them. And I was just amazed the first time that I was not only able to forgive my compulsions, but my compulsions in return said, you know, I really forgive you for all of the self-hate that you loaded into me. And now we have this working relationship. It's not that I'm not compulsive. I have little tiny waves.
Sure.
And remember, the core compulsion is to struggle. But each of those little waves now, we are in a partnership, and it always is a doorway back into a deeper abiding relationship with myself.
So I have to ask you a question about the chocolate bar.
Yeah. European chocolate.
Well, the best chocolate bar in the world.
Yeah. The chocolate bar that sits in your house in honor of your compulsions.
Yes.
Do you ever give yourself permission?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it's not about abstaining. I want to make that clear to our audience. It's not about abstaining.
Yes.
It is about having relationship with your compulsions in order to deepen your relationship with yourself.
Yes.
And then when we do that, we find out, wow, we can do these things.
Yes.
And we are not controlled by them.
Exactly.
Or controlling them.
Yes.
That's the beauty in this. So tell us a little bit about your workshops, your website, how people get in touch with you, what you're up to.
The website is maryomalley.com. And that's O'Malley with two L's. And that shows everything that I am doing. Right now I'm in a little bit quieter time after a very full winter. But here in Seattle, I do individual counseling. I also do counseling all over the country by phone. And I do a half-day retreat the first Saturday of every month at my garden sanctuary in Kirkland. And I have ongoing groups every week.
And what do you find? Is a main theme when people come to you, first of all, is it mostly women that come?
Mostly.
Mostly. Mm-hmm. And are they saying goodbye to their compulsions also? Or
there is that phase, right? But first of all, you have to say hello.
That's right. Okay. Well, and I think that's people, that really is very important, and it's the crux of the book.
Yes.
Say hello before even attempting to say goodbye.
And it's the reason why Eckhart Tolle, he has endorsed it, Larry Doss, he has endorsed it, Alan Cohen, Brian Swim have all endorsed it, and they've each have said in their own way, the world needs this work, because it's about even much more than healing and being healed by our compulsions. It's about how to use the human mind in a way that unites rather than divides and connects rather than controls. And if each one of us can heal the war inside of ourselves, and there's no better place to see it than around compulsions, then we become a healing presence in the world. And that, to me, is how our beleaguered world will be healed, person by person.
I agree with you. I think it takes that one-on-one. We cannot have peace in the world until we truly have peace within ourselves.
That's right.
And this is a incredible book for all of us. I mean, anybody out there, because we all have compulsions. The yin yang.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah, yes. And you're no longer without a paddle.
Yes.
So, well, so Mary, great having you here. You know, proud to have you in the Northwest.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful book, The Gift of Our Compulsions. It's a revolutionary approach to self-acceptance and healing.
And we want to thank you, Mary, for being present with us and for doing this work and teaching us so much about who we are, actually, instead of who we think we are.
Exactly.
Take care.
Thank you.
So when we come back, we have John St. Augustine. You've heard his power thoughts right here on this show. He is a radio host. He has an incredible personal story.
And we'll be right back with John. Take care and hang on.
Have you been to Super Supplements? If your answer is no, stop and listen. In a time of rising healthcare costs and vitamins a vital part of living healthier and feeling better, Super Supplements has all your bases covered. From allergy products to weight loss supplements and just about anything in between, Super Supplements will make your shopping experience super easy and offer you super savings. Why? Their 11-store buying power means massive everyday savings on over 30,000 name brand products like Garden of Life, Atkins, Solaray, Nature's Way, Twin Labs, EAS, Jarrow Formulas, and Burt's Bees, just to name a few. For super service, super selection, and super savings, get on down to Super Supplements. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9, Sunday, 11 to 7. Now, with 11 locations from Bellingham to Olympia and all points in between, it's never been easier to live healthier and feel better. For the location nearest you, log on to supersup.com. Now open in Everett on the corner of 41st and Colby Avenue, and coming soon to Puyallup. Super Supplements.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I'd like to invite you to join me every morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for The Donna Sebo Show. This program is dedicated to empowering you in your life. We feature guests from all over the world, and I share my mental intuitive skills with you, the listening audience. Join me Monday through Friday right here on KKNW 1150, and let us light up your life with insight. The Donna Sebo Show, 8 to 9 a.m. weekday mornings. Again, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Hello, I am Antonio Banderas, and I am here to rock your boat. I want to tell you about a group that is fighting to save our oceans. Its name is Oceana, and its mission is to stop the collapse of the seas. For centuries, we have treated the oceans with profound disrespect. We have fished species of marine life to extinction. Commercial fishing practices, cold bottom trawling, and dirty fishing destroy marine habitat and kill sea turtles, dolphins, and other endangered marine life. Oceana has been fighting and winning to protect marine animals and ocean habitat, but Oceana needs your help. Log on to oceana.org and become a wave maker. You care about our oceans? Then rock the boat. Make some waves. Make your voice heard. Oceana.org. I am Antonio Banderas, and I am an Oceana Wavemaker.
If you have questions or comments on today's show, or wish to talk to one of our guests, give us a call at 425-373-5527, or in the outlying areas, use the toll-free hotline 1-888-298-KKNW. That's 1-888-298-5569.
You're listening to Conscious Talk on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, and thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Brenda Michaels.
I'm Rob Spears, and we're going to be bringing John St. Augustine on, but just hold on a minute. We got a couple of things to remind you of.
Mm-hmm.
First, Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., Rejuvenetics, you know Rejuvenetics, they've been a sponsor on our show. They're going to be doing a demonstration with their Vital Energy Machine. Have an experience with this. Mm-hmm. Make up your mind, your own mind. See how it affects you. This is going to be in Kirkland, but what you have to do is call 800-459-9052 to reserve your spot. That's 800-459-9052. They can only have so many machines and deal with so many people at once. So 7 to 9 Thursday.
Well, you got to have an experience. It is really great.
Yeah.
And then we want to remind you, we are doing our teleconference on June 1st at 6 p.m. It is Be Heard, Be Helped, Go Forward. And we are really here to help you with clarity, commitment, and taking action in your life. And it's going to be a teleconference with Maureen Moss, who's going to be joining us. She is now, of course, one of our segment hosts every second and fourth Thursday of the month. She is a relationship expert and a life coach and an author and a national speaker and an amazing lady. And so the three of us have put our little hearts and minds together to offer this to you, and we'd love to have you come join us. Again, it's June 1st, 6 p.m. Either get on our website at conscioustalk.net. There's information there, or you can go to Maureen's website at maureenmoss.com, and we hope to be talking to you.
Well, so now we have John St. Augustine. You have heard his power thoughts. Mm-hmm. Right here on Conscious Talk. John, welcome.
Morning, folks.
How are you?
Oh, I'm outstanding in the field. I just don't know which one.
Yes, exactly.
we know that you are.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
So, John, let's start off by telling letting our listeners know a little bit about how you got into radio, I'm going to throw a few things at you,
sure.
Why you created your power thoughts, because I know you have a personal story that's amazing to share as well.
Yeah.
So bring us up to date a little bit about all this.
You know, I'm a Chicago guy at heart. I lived there most of my life till I was about 37, and I was in the business deal that I thought would end all the other business deals I'd ever have to go through, and At the very same time, I was asked to give a commencement address at a very small high school in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And, you know, being from Chicago, really nothing north of Green Bay ever existed for me. That's as far as I ever went.
Right.
So I came up to give this commencement address, and there was 27 graduates that year, but there was like 500 people to watch these kids graduate. Now, where I come from, there's 500 graduates, 27 parents.
Right.
So I was looking for Andy and Barney, actually, because I couldn't believe that people still live this way in the sense of community that they had. And so I was in the middle of this business deal, and I'm seeing life a little bit different. And, you know, I grew up, everything is black and white, either like the Cubs or the Sox. You know, mm-hmm. you're Republican or Democrat. There is no gray area, and mm-hmm. there's no middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was starting to see gray areas more and more in my life. My daughter had been born with a kidney defect, and it cost her kidney at 5. And, you know, that wasn't part of my plan. And I was electrocuted when I was 19. Now, I use that word. Electrocution obviously means the end of life, but I had a severe electrical shock, and it's as close as I got at the time to crossing over and coming back. And I was not only 19 years old, and that wasn't part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was 27. My wife and I had only been married for 2 weeks, and we were hit broadside by a drunk driver at 75 miles an hour, and that wasn't part of the plan.
Wow.
So all these things had lined up, and I started to see that what I learned growing up wasn't serving me anymore. So fast forward to 1996. I give this talk. I'm in the middle of this business deal with a couple of named pro athletes that were very close friends. Mine still are. And I was having this internal struggle of which way am I supposed to go with my life? And so long story short is that I pulled out of the business deal. It cost me a lot of money. And in the sports marketing business, you drop 3 times as fast as you go up, much like the media.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I found myself very shortly with nowhere to live and nowhere to go and had no idea what to do. And I have a college degree, you know? So you kind of really start assessing your life. And the same people whose son was in that graduating class that I had spoke to months earlier have a small motel in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. There's some Native American friends of mine. And they said, well, maybe you're supposed to come here. So my wife and I and 2 kids put everything we owned in a horse trailer that they came down and provided. We moved to this little motel where 6 months earlier I was Mr. Successful staying here, telling these kids how to live life successfully, and didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Put everything I owned in storage, put our kids in school. My wife found a job. She's an amazing decorator. She found a job as a florist. And I sat in this hotel room for 2 weeks sucking my thumb. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of all the challenges, I had this ongoing vision, as my Native friends would call it, and I would see myself walking on the side of the road with a backpack out of the setting sun. And 2 weeks after we lived here, I had that dream again, that vision, and I knew I had to walk. And I ended up walking from Upper Michigan all the way back to Chicago, and then from Chicago all the way back here in September, October, and November of 1996 on foot.
That's wow. About 1,000 miles, isn't it?
1,000 miles round trip, because you can't just walk down the freeway. They don't let you do that.
Right. Well,
yeah, no. So sometimes the visions, you got to have a little bit of flexibility, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
got to
work within the state police boundaries.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a, you know, that's a whole show in itself. But basically, what came out of that was, a few days on the way back out of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, I literally found myself standing on the side of the road with a backpack on in the setting sun in the scene that I'd actually been shown months earlier. And to a guy like me, black and white, Republican or Democrat, no middle ground, this was a mind-blowing experience.
I bet.
Imagine. I mean, I was already stretching by walking, but so this was just the topper. And a minute or two later, after I had been standing in that, this thought about radio was so clear to me. It's like, I'm supposed to go on the radio. And I had no radio experience at all. But what was happening to me, I know, happens to a lot of people. You're brought up one way, you believe this way, and then things happen in your life, and you're like, well, that can't be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something on radio that was different, that it wasn't the old, look who's doing what to the neighbor, and look how bad things are, and all political stuff. And what I had experienced on the walk was contrary to what I was seeing in the media most of the time. So I came back, and I thought, well, it'll all fall together now. You know, I'll be on 500 stations tomorrow.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah.
Not exactly.
So I called 15 or 20 radio stations, and, you know, I'm living in a motel and with nothing, and by now I've lost my cars, and I don't have a job. And, I mean, it was just really an amazing. We lived in that motel for a year, by the way. It was an amazing experience.
And your wife stood by you through all of it.
Right.
I think it's amazing and absolutely wonderful.
You know, she says few words, but the ones that she does, I listen to.
I bet.
And she knew. You know, you just don't go as far. You just don't stretch that far in faith without knowing that something's there.
Right.
And so I call all these radio stations an idea for a show called Power Talk Radio, because I believe the power that we have, I know, is not only in our voices, but in our thoughts. And that really, out of everything else, determines. You can put all the rest of the seminars and books away. Your thoughts become your words, and that determines what you experience, period. You guys know this.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's how you created your show. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right, but that's why we love the stories, John. You know, the thing about your power thoughts and listening to them is they're only a minute, but they're powerful little stories.
That's all it takes.
Yes.
That's right.
It's all it
takes. You know, for years, so what happened was I did the show. I created the show, and it started one day a week, and it was a kind of a neat thing because I finally got a CBS affiliate to say yes. They'll do the show, give me an hour. You don't get paid. Here's the microphone. You don't have a producer. Talk. And the first four shows were horrible. At the fifth show, I only had one more show to get it right, and I thought, no, I know I'm supposed to keep doing this. Who do I call? So I called Stedman Graham, who's Oprah's significant other.
Right.
We had played golf together many times, and he says, you're where doing what? So I'm on the radio. So he did the show, and the funny thing was I talked to him on a Friday. The show was the next Wednesday. On Monday, his book came out. On Tuesday, he was on the cover of People magazine, and Wednesday, he was on my show.
Right.
Wow.
So some kind of universal things lined up there, and I got more and more. And by 1999, that was in 97, by 1999, the show moved over to ABC. I replaced Dr. Laura. I went on 80 markets. I went from, you know, 3 hours a week to 3 hours a day, afternoon drive, back-to-back with Limbaugh, which is not good or bad, but it just was.
Mm-hmm.
And it became this huge entity. It was on television simulcast. And where I used to have to beg for guests in the beginning, now we had a 3-month waiting list like you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. It becomes bigger than you, and you realize that's a good thing.
Yes.
Right. And what you, I think, John, and it's like our experience, what you understand is it's not about you and your ego, because that was your whole experience, but it's about what you're talking about and what you're sharing.
It's what I believe it's about what you're allowing to come through you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's becoming the pipe and not the water.
That's right. Absolutely.
Know? And so it serves a great purpose. That's why I'm so enthralled with what you all do out there in Northwest, because it is the powerful words and the stuff that really lifts people up and the things that are really a part of people's daily lives, not all the politics and the other garbage that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is always going to be there, but everybody, no matter how you vote, you have kids to raise, you have bills to pay, you have health challenges. I mean, there's a myriad of things that don't fit in the categories most people assimilate with talk radio.
Right.
That's why you fill that niche. So Power Thoughts really started as an add-on to the show. You know how it is. You got a lot of stuff coming through your head. You start writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1999, I came up with the idea of these one-minute vignettes, and they just took off as you know, when you get out of the way, that stuff happens.
Absolutely.
And I've done about 3,500 of these, and I've never once sat down on a Monday morning and never had a writer's block.
Right.
So I know that's the good thing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what's important to point out to our listeners too, John, is that you really took the radio model and you put something meaningful there into a model that is not created for anything other than entertainment, correct?
That's correct.
And that's what was so different about your show and was so different about you and what was, to me, was so inspiring, is to fit this model of what you do, of what we do, offer this to the public, give it meaning. It can be entertaining as well, but more than that, it has meaning to it.
Yeah,
you know, radio in its form, it's like everything, every other institution we have, especially the media, it is a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And all dinosaurs go extinct at some point, and then all of a sudden somebody comes up with an idea, and everybody jumps on it and becomes the thing. And the perfect example is the Liberal Talk Radio Network that was started a year or so ago.
Right.
And everybody said, oh, it'll never work. Well, it worked.
It's working. Yeah.
Well, and John, when we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about just why independent media and those voices, which are our lives, are so important.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Conscious Talk Radio that makes a difference. I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to realize your wellness potential? Then now is the time to discover the Vital Energy Machine from Rejuvenetics. People have been using the Vital Energy Machine for years to promote energetic harmony, decrease physical and emotional fatigue, and restore well-being. The Vital Energy Machine combines the latest advances in energy therapy into an easy-to-operate device that can be used in your own home. Call 1-800-459-9052 for your free DVD and find out how the Vital Energy Machine can work for you. Call 1-800-459-9052. That's 1-800-459-9052.
If you're interested in our health and well-being but don't know where to get reliable information, then the Well-Being Journal is exactly what you need. The Well-Being Journal heralds the integration of medicine with the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of healing. The Well-Being Journal is your best source for the latest information on alternative therapies and the truth about what's really going on in the world of medicine. If you want to get to the root cause of society's health challenges and disease in your body, you'll want to read articles written by leading-edge MDs, naturopaths, herbologists, nutritionists, and researchers found together in the Well-Being Journal. To subscribe to the Well-Being Journal, call 888-532-3117. That's 888-532-3117. Or visit on the web at www.wellbeingjournal.com. The truth is out there, and it's in the Well-Being Journal.
You're listening to Conscious Talk on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And we're back, and thanks for listening and joining us this morning. I'm Brenda Michaels.
I'm Rob Spears, and we're talking with John St. Augustine. And John, your story is, you know, certainly inspiring, and we know that this has led to many things for you, including newspaper columns, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're very well known in the Midwest. And the thing that I really wanted to focus on was, you know, that you are independent media like we are independent media. You know, these voices out there that are not part of these gigantic, monopolistic sounds that we all hear everywhere in the country. And I just came back from St. Louis, and we were talking about media reform.
Yes.
And, you know, it's what it just goes right to the heart of this nation when you realize that there is no freedom unless there is a free media.
That's correct.
How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I did the network thing on a smaller scale for 6 years, and I deal with networks in a different role now with the Power Thoughts. They take them, and you know, you're absolutely right. You know, media reform sounds kind of like government intelligence sometimes.
Exactly.
They don't go together, you know?
Right.
And yet, I'm going to go back to what we just said before the break. The whole liberal radio thing, whether you're liberal or not, really is not the point. They have a template. What they did is that they put four or five pieces together and they created a product, not only because they knew there was a niche audience, but also because the system allows for that if it's done correctly. And so what I've found is that it's been much more effective for me to work with the people. You know, you can run with the one that can, as opposed to trying to get 50 to go with you that don't want to.
Right.
And so I believe, and I've come to know and experience that there are a lot of people like you guys out there and others that are putting all the pieces together and saying, now, wait a minute, you know, if these guys did this, we can do this. And if so-and-so did this, we can do this. And I think that's the real strength of the system. While it has its flaws, the strength is that you can literally put 10 people in a room, figure out, excuse me, what needs to be done, get it done, and actually go out and, in our talk about radio, buy the stations, buy the time, and create something from nothing. That's the beauty of the system. The problem is, after that, is that you always run the risk of getting swallowed up by somebody bigger, a bigger fish, or things that will try to derail what you're doing. You guys and I know. You see, if most listeners knew how radio really worked, they wouldn't listen. How it works behind the scenes, how sales works, what advertising is all about.
Right.
You know, the people that run the major corporations, and I'm going to say this in a blanket statement, obviously there's a few exceptions to every rule. There's famous statement was made not that long ago that, you know, music radio, for example, is not about the music. It's about in between the music, which is called advertising.
Right. That's right. Same right. for TV, as it always has
And you have the TV experience. So you can say, okay, that's how the game's played. That's fine. And if that's the way you're looking at it, then the content shouldn't be that important to you. And yet, I believe conscious type shows that you have and doing power talk type things. You know, I consider myself very middle of the road. You know, you listen to my show in the afternoon, you could have Catherine Cryer on talking about what's going on Court TV from a higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the next hour you could have Christopher Reeve on. And the third hour you could have on somebody no one's ever heard before. And it, to me, there was always talking about the same thing from a different perspective.
Right.
So there was more of a middle ground approach to that, and that worked. However, I really think that what happens is that it's kind of like the trance mentality. So the more diversionary type program that's out there that keeps you away from what's really going on in your life and how to handle it, it's almost like being in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you listen to political talk radio all day, you'd be afraid to come out of the house.
Right. Oh, of course. Yes.
That's what the thought-word connection is all about.
Oh, absolutely.
So once you figure that out, and you're on the inside of the business, you're like, I see what's going on here. But you know what? The folks that are driving in their car today listening to the show, they're not in the inside like we know it.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Yes, right. And we do know it. And also, it's very interesting. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do, John. We saw it on 60 Minutes the other night. There's a professor that has a new book out called, you know, it's about
BS, essentially.
We can't say bull. Yes, it's all the BS that we're in. And, you know, we find this on television and we find this on radio. It's one of the reasons that Rob and I feel that independent media is so important, that we have a voice out there. Because otherwise we're going to be so inundated with the BS.
Yeah.
And like you said, distracted from what is real in our lives and distracted from ourselves more than anything, that we're lulled into this stream of unconsciousness as opposed to the stream of consciousness where there's possibilities abound.
Right.
Well, you know, just those two words itself say everything. You know, you can have independent media or dependent media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you become dependent, listen, here's the deal. When you listen, and I'm going to just say the names because I've been in the business long enough and know some of these people. When you listen to Bill O'Reilly say, I'm looking out for you, I don't want him looking out for me.
Right.
I want to take care of myself.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think providing information that you're able to do that for yourself is far more empowering than saying, I agree with everything they say.
Right.
You know?
Right. But he's he's playing to an audience still that does not want to be responsible in their lives.
Sure, there's always a blame game and a victim thing and stuff, and a crusader mentality, and we like some of it. I mean, and you know, a lot of that supposedly, and I think people don't get this either, a lot of radio is supposed to be entertainment. It's just entertaining.
Right.
Right.
Well, you can tell the difference between who's entertaining and who's real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're entertaining, I want to know who you really are, because if you're leading a bunch of people with a shtick, what's the point?
Right.
Right.
Sell advertising.
Right.
To sell advertising.
Well, John, on that point, because we don't have too much time, we want to talk about something or want you to tell us about something that is very real in your life. When your daughter needed a kidney, you donated yours. So
I was the perfect donor.
Right.
The perfect time. I think it was a great blessing. At that point, I had not taken a lot of time off radio, and this was in July of 2002. And as I mentioned, my daughter had had her right kidney removed at 5, and when she was 13, the doctor said, you know, we can't go any further. She's gone as far as she could, and she's an amazing, amazing kid, great positive attitude. And I turned out, against all odds, really, both my father and grandfather had polycystic kidney disease, and it was a big factor in their passing. And my sister didn't have it. And I had never been tested, and it's a hereditary thing.
Right.
And so we got the test done, and there was no cysts on John's kidneys, and it was a perfect fit and a perfect match. And on July 18th of 02, we went to Madison's Children's Hospital at the University of Wisconsin. It was an amazing procedure. I've learned so much out of it. And, you know, her life since then, she's never known what it's like to be totally healthy. And it was just, you know, you don't get a chance to give your kids life twice.
Right. Wow.
You always threaten to take it away from them, but
yes.
You don't get a chance to give it to them. And I've learned so much from her challenge and then our connection. And about a year ago, year and a half ago, Jack Canfield and I have been friends for a long time, and he told me to write that for Chicken Soup. So that story is in the Chicken Soup for the Father and Daughter Soul that just came out May 3rd. It's on bookstands now. It's the very first story in the book.
Right.
So you speak out there on the importance of organ donations, don't you?
Well, you know, look, here's the deal. We're all estate sales in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it what it is. You can't take anything with you. You never had everything. We think we own our homes and own our cars until you miss a payment.
Right.
So it's all about what can we give while we're here. And a lot of people I know, especially folks that listen to your type of show, would want to make a difference in the world. It's not about donating money. It's not going to meetings. Sign the back of your license. Find out the laws in your state. Make your wishes known. And live on in other people.
Right. And
it's,
I think
it's simple to me.
It's a wonderful thing to do. And I know, John, that episode had to change your life just so much and brought you right back to what's most important in your life.
No question. I was doing the treadmill thing with this. You know how it is, you're running the media deal.
Yeah.
And it stopped me. And actually, I have not done the Daily Show since December of 2002. It really stopped everything, and I put it in perspective. And I wasn't doing the wrong things. I just wasn't doing enough of the right thing.
Right. So, John, how can our audience get in touch with you? They can hear your power thoughts on our show. Let's give some web addresses, etc.
Sure. It's real simple. www.johnstaugustine.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can email me through there, and they can see all the stuff I've been doing there and all like that. I have a book coming out next year called Be the Change, Uncommon Sense for Common Sense for Uncommon Times.
Wonderful.
And we're working on a lot of different things.
That's wonderful. Right. And we'll have you back with the book and everything, right, John.
And it'll all be listed on our website.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, John, for being with us today. We so appreciate it. God bless you on your journey.
Yeah, proud to be your friend.
Thank you, sir. And I appreciate you being a part of the show with Power Thoughts. I appreciate
it. Okay.
That. Take
Thanks.
Care. And we'll be right back.
There's so many reasons to get on over to Super Supplements. Their knowledgeable staff. The fact that they discount 10 to 70% off suggested retail price on their entire inventory every day. Their huge selection on over 30,000 quality products with brand names like Atkins, Garden of Life, Solaray, Twin Lab, Solgar, Burt's Bees, Airborne, and Gerald formulas, just to name a few. Not to mention Super Supplements' 10 convenient locations, Bellingham, Burlington, Linwood, Kenmore, North Seattle, U-District, Bellevue, Renton, Tacoma, Lakewood, and Olympia, with more locations coming soon. Super Supplements was recently voted Vitamin Magazine's best independent chain in the entire country. Open 9 to 9 Monday through Saturday, Sundays 11 to 7. Let Super Supplements help you live healthier and feel better today. If you're feeling less than superhuman, get to Super Supplements for super service, super selection, and super savings. For the Super Supplements nearest you, go to supersup.com. That's SUPERSUP.com.
Hello, I am Antonio Banderas, and I am here to rock your boat. I want to tell you about a group that is fighting to save our oceans. Its name is Oceana, and its mission is to stop the collapse of the seas. For centuries, we have treated the oceans with profound disrespect. We have fished species of marine life to extinction. Commercial fishing practices, cold bottom trawling, and dirty fishing destroy marine habitat and kill sea turtles, dolphins, and other endangered marine life. Oceana has been fighting and winning to protect marine animals and ocean habitat. But Oceana needs your help. Log on to oceana.org and become a wave maker. You care about our oceans? Then rock the boat. Make some waves. Make your voice heard. At oceana.org. I am Antonio Banderas, and I am an Oceana wave maker.
Join us next time for another edition of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference. And don't forget to tell your friends, Conscious Talk is on twice a day in Seattle, 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. If you want to hear more Conscious Talk or have friends outside our broadcast area, Conscious Talk streams live on the net, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 a.m. and now also at 4 to 5 p.m. at ConsciousTalk.net. Or check out our free archives section, that's www.ConsciousTalk.net.
Join us tomorrow when we'll be interviewing author Raphael Kushner, and we're going to be talking about what will our grandchildren say about the world we leave them in today. And he's the author of Setting Your Heart on Fire and Unconditional Bliss. And we're also going to be talking to a lady regarding the movement of the Department of Peace, as we're all interested in peace in ourselves and in the world. And we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible. Benny, our great producer, director, engineer, thank you, sir. Thank you to our great guests, our wonderful segment hosts, our sponsors that keep us here on the air with you every day, and especially you, our listening audience, that hold this space with us. So until tomorrow, goodbye, and God bless.
Views expressed on the preceding program are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 KKNW, Seattle. Alternative Talk.